Hello, everybody, and welcome to the call. Today, you have a very special opportunity to learn with Miss B, and she's the one that was able to get on today, and I know many of you had to work, and some of you sent me messages and emails saying that you were unable to make it, and that's totally fine. That's what a recording's all about. But we're going to hash out some questions that B has, and we hope to create a lot of value for you. So B, without any further pomp and circumstance, let's go ahead and go after any questions that you have.
One of the things that I found, I've only gotten through the first week.
Okay.
And I think I have to go back and go through a lot of those questions again. Because as I kind of start to get into week two, it's kind of triggering other thoughts that maybe I should have gotten that in week one as well. But what I struggled with in the week one was really knowing what I was supposed to be, how I was supposed to be responding to these questions, because sometimes they seem quite vague. When you talked to in the beginning about going back to that, you know, that carefree time in our lives when we were just in our elements and nothing was work that we were doing because it was all fun. When I think back about those times, like, I think about a lot of things that I loved doing and, you know, that I was totally in my element with. Necessarily my calling in life. For example, I love to sing and I love to songwrite, but I don't know that that is, you know, what I'm being called to do right now. So I don't know if my questions should be, or my answers to those questions should be, actually going back to all the things I love to do, art, crafts, you know, that kind of thing, or if I should be actually thinking business and creating a business plan that I see could be something that could be profitable.
Okay, that's a great question.
So that would then create time for me to do all those things that I'd love to do.
You just hit the nail on the head. Okay, so in week three, we talk about profits and what profits look like. And so let's just say you write down every single thing that your heart is just full doing. But you think, okay, well, this is something I enjoy doing, but it's not something I feel like I'm supposed to build a business around. That's totally fine because we're going to hit that in week three. And that's around profits. And that's the type of quality time you can generate by running a business that's effective, but you know for sure is your calling. So the reason I do keep it vague is for you to write down everything so that later on you can go back and say, okay, now this is what I plan to do in my quality time. And you get to, in week two, really write out and prioritize and put in your schedule things that you enjoy doing with people you love, because what happens sometimes as an entrepreneur is we give ourselves permission to work and make a lot of money or to make a little money doing work that we start to really despise. And so the whole point of creating a entrepreneur who's healthy, balanced, and holistic is the approach to which you go it. And so that you still have that free time and you make that time to do the things you love so that you are completely filling yourself up, so yet you're not running on empty when you go out to do business with the people who you serve. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it sounds amazing, actually.
And you didn't know you could do it, but you can. That doesn't mean you can get away from work, honey. We still got to do the work, right? I mean, we still got to do the work, but what we do is at that moment is work becomes a whole lot more fun and enjoyable and delightful, because we have then said, I know I'm going to, and in week two you'll see this, I'm going to put my time in, and I've dedicated myself to 10 hours and no more than 10 hours, because 10 hours is what I can do in the life stage I'm at. And you know during that 10 hours you're going to work yourself very focused. And you're going to create the business that you're wanting to raise up. And you're going to take the steps that it takes. And then after those 10 hours are up, you're going to back off. Because you don't want to be looking around feeling bad about overworking. You want to say, okay, and I chose these priorities. And that's why I think this is a very feminine-based business model, because you're a nurturer. And it's very important for you to take care of you and to take care of those who are your first priority, and then take care of those that are actually your dream client or dream customer.
Yeah, and that's the part that I struggle with too. The idea, I love the idea of that 10-hour work week, but I have a really hard time wrapping my mind around how that works in my life, because what I have always done is I have, like Colette Larson talks about, I've worked my business in the nooks and crannies of my life. And that, you know, in my busiest times of my life, was when I have built my business that's been profitable for me to this point. And I really don't know how to do that 10-hour work. I don't know what that looks like.
And that's a good question.
What happens during those 10 hours?
Yes, yes. And then what I'm leading you down the road to decide in week three is, how are you choosing to work now? Are you wanting to work face-to-face? Are you wanting to work like more of a hybrid face-to-face and through the internet? Or do you want to work all through the internet? Because all three ways are going to require work, but it's the way you want to work. And when you decide which way you want to work, that's when I can come in and say, okay, these are some of the steps. Have you made that decision yet?
Have I made that decision yet?
Yeah, because you can always reinvent yourself or reinvent the way that you work.
Right. Well, definitely if it was working online, it would be much more feasible to actually, you know, do that 10-hour work week. Whereas, I don't know, I just find when things include people, like face-to-face, it's just not, you're just not able to be that focused. Yeah, I mean, during those 10 hours, you could make phone calls, you could make a effort to connect with people, to follow up with people, and so on, but when push comes to shove, it's when somebody posts something on Facebook or whatever, and they're looking for help, that I can't go, oh, well, my working hours aren't until tomorrow, you know?
Right, right.
That's when it starts, and there's research, and there's, you know, getting to know the person and whatever. So, yeah, I guess I could, if it was an online thing or more online, I could definitely see how there could be more focused time that you could actually walk away from.
Okay, well, this is going to be a really good segue for me to share how or what that looks like to build online. So it's different, and I definitely heard what you said is what you're doing sometimes is, and I'm just, correct me if I'm wrong, but you see somebody post something on Twitter and they're looking for something, or Facebook, and they're looking for something, and then you feel like at that moment it's best to try to make a connection with them. And that's a very great way to do it, because it's more actually of a face-to-face approach or more one-on-one approach. But the thing that I'm talking about, and that works effectively, if you have the time, right? And right now, what I'm hearing you say is you're trying to free up your time so that you can focus on what's going on with your family. So the way that I started working is I've moved further away from seeing, like, on my personal Facebook page what people are saying, what they need, or this or that. Because sometimes I'll go in and I'll say in a private message something to them, and they may or may not bite. And it can take months before they ever warm up. So it's just like anything out in the real world where, you know, you have a business and you go and you sit down with somebody and they receive a presentation, and then there's follow-up, and then there's another follow-up, and then there's the decision and the contract decided. So what we want to be able to do is to show you what that looks like. And that takes the format of blogging, because the client needs to get to feel like they know, like, and trust you. And I've seen that you have written some things in the past which were really good. So you're actually a writer already. So that kind of goes in naturally with...
Right.
Yeah, and you said songwriting. So that's really hitting some of your natural giftings. That's something that, I mean, blog writing can take anywhere from 2 to 5 hours a day, depending on how confident you feel as a writer. If you're, like for me, it took me quite some time to figure out how to do the blogging process because I had been in academia for so long. And I was like, wow, you mean in the type of copy I write, I'm supposed to write like I would speak? Yes. And so that's taken a lot of training for me.
You're so good at that.
Well, it's taken a while, and I'm going to be honest with you. I still don't always feel comfortable, but I'm getting there. And I also have to tell you that there are people that they will blog every single week without fail. And what I decided to do is I knew that I probably wouldn't be consistent at doing that, and to start off slow but sure and do it twice a month. And what's happening now, and it doesn't happen overnight, Bea, but what's happening now is I'm starting to get a bit of a following. So I'm at a great place for you to watch what happens with my business so that you can do something similar. Now, you may not do the same type of thing I'm doing, but you can just watch how things develop and progress. So will I ever go to blogging once a week? I don't know. I can't guarantee that, because I'm also the type of person that I teach. I have to practice what I preach. And if I feel like blogging once a week would get me out of balance and not keep the harmony in my family, then I'm going to keep it to twice a month. And that's what I'm willing to give. Now, when I blog, I try to give value. And what's happening is, I'm going to tell you, I'm a hybrid writer. And what that means is I choose to write really around two topics. And so I want to urge you to only begin writing on one topic. And what I mean by that is one area. It could be health overall, but maybe 1 week you write about children's health, or 1 week you write about women's health, or whatever that might be, but you stay in that entire arena. Now, I write around health, and I write around business or entrepreneurship. And what's happening, and I see, is I'm forcing my audience to choose one or the other, or I'm forcing my audience to be like, well, maybe I want to look at this, but I don't. So they can, you know, opt out, or they can say, well, I choose to look at both and stay with her. But I'm still testing my audience, and I know what I'm doing is very risky. And so I don't necessarily suggest people doing that if they're starting out and you have got to build a business. Now, I've built up a business strong enough to where I have a lot of leeway to test things out and tell you this is working grand or this is not working so grand, and to just be really honest with you. So blogging's one way. The other way is, and you'll see me raising it up here within the next 3 weeks, is I'm offering four what I call evergreen products throughout the year. And it's been something that I've wanted to do for some time, but I didn't know how to do all the inner workings of that, because I don't have a high-tech background. So it took me a while to find the tech person that would help me run my campaigns. But you'll see me raising up not just Real School for Entrepreneurs, but Real School for Health Seekers. And in that, I'm going to specialize around detoxification and cleansing, because that's the one thing that's really helped move me forward in my health. And so these are my evergreen products. And I can put them pretty much on autopilot, but then when I want to, I can come out and I can play, you know, let's say I run Real School twice a year, or I run it 4 times a year. And then I can say I'm only going to run it with 10 students, or I'm going to run it up to 500 students. What the type of person I am, I like to be more hands-on in the mentoring aspect. So most likely, in my pricing, I'm going to higher the pricing, because I'm giving a lot of value by giving one-on-one mentoring. And what I'll do is I'll keep the classes lower. Now, if at one point I think I can't do that, then I'll find someone who can help co-mentor, or I'll just always keep them small. But the thing is, I have an evergreen product, which is an ongoing sellable product that I can release when I want to. And that's where you're going to be learning in the third week about your marketing campaigns. that you can do through social media or that you can do on a low-tech way. Now, I'm really fond of the social media aspect because it opens your world. I mean, think about this. I had intended to have only 10 students in real school this time around. I ended up allowing 11, but it happened to be around from 4 countries. That's the power of the internet. And so that's why I'm really fond of having people who are in real school to really take a serious look at that. But at the same time, it does take concerted efforts and focus to design the copy, to design the branding, to make things congruent. But what I want to tell everybody is to start off simple and take baby steps every step of the way. But I want it to be where people feel like, oh, I feel confident doing what I'm doing. And it may be simple, but you can always make it scalable and take it up in size. So anything that you end up doing, you can make it small and just offer to your community in that area. And there's ways that you can do this through social media marketing. It can just run something in an area of where you live or the state in which you live, or you can take it worldwide. So there's a lot of ways that you can make your marketing scalable, so to speak, where it's small or large. So I shared a lot with you. I shared a lot with you, but I believe the more you go into week 2 and week 3, that you'll say, oh, you know, at first you're kind of going through the work and the worksheets and the classes, and you're thinking, okay, so when is it all going to come together? And it starts to really come together at the end of week 3, but then week 4, I'm going to have you take more action because you're learning things for the first time. But I'll tell you that this type of business, when you keep it small, but every year you go back and you say, how can I increase this or how can I improve this, then your ability to touch more people who fall into your framework for who your dream customer is, you open it up more. And so I love the fact that you're a part of a pilot program. And so I'm actually doing a lot of the baby steps here, and I'm shifting and focusing on how I can improve little by little over time so that my product, when I say, okay, this is it, this is done, then I'm still in the tweaking process, right? But that's why you're getting it at a much greater discount than what I will offer it the second time around. So that's what you can do. When you decide what program that you want to put together or what product you're offering, then you can get really, really clear on that. I want to stop real quick just to make sure, because it sounded like someone jumped on the call recently, and I just want to make sure that if someone just joined, that one, you're very welcome, and two, we're on a conversation now, but please, please, please ask your question and announce yourself.
Well, hi, Lillian Underwood.
Hi, Lillian. Welcome.
Thanks, Dr. Page. And, I will be stepping off again. I just have just in the middle of school with my kids. I have to drop in and picking them off.
Sure.
Sorry.
No worries. Do you happen to have any question right now? And even if you have to jump off, it will be recorded for you.
Okay. I just caught in on that last bit, and that was quite interesting about blog writing, and I like how you said, even if you just edit it twice a month, and I like how you said to focus on one area, because I can be the type of person I want to write about all kinds of stuff, and I kind of go off on rabbit trails, and this helps me just to stay focused on one thing and write about one thing only.
Yeah, good. I'm glad that that was helpful for you. Well, Miss B, do you have any more questions? Because it sounds like you're stirring up some good stuff for other listeners as well.
That was kind of in my mind when I was answering all those questions about my dream customer, because I really didn't know exactly where it was all going, was in the business that I'm kind of working with now and trying to reinvent in a way, I guess, for myself, I have two different types of customers. I have a customer that will use my products, and I have a customer who would partner with me in sharing those products with other people. So I was, at the time when I was answering those questions, I was like, my dream customer, am I looking, are we talking customers, customers, or are we talking partner customers?
Mm-hmm. And that's go ahead.
I think I'm more clear now. I mean, if my dream customer is my partner, that person who's going to be, you know, I'm going to be getting their attention, those are also going to be customers as well.
Yes, you can get a 2-for-1 special out of that. It's just really important. It's really important to get clear on, and even possible to write out 2 different dream customers. Like, you could write down the person that is just going to be your customer only. What is it they're looking for when they come across you? And you know, who are they? What do they need? So you could get really specific on that, and you could come up with 2. Or if you want to be real, real, real specific, you can say, I'm only going to go after the customer who wants to partner with me. And, you know, you can choose 1 thing at a time. The thing is this, what you're learning how to do with 1 dream customer can work many times over. And there are people I know run campaigns within the area of health. And I'm going to talk to you about a physician that I've worked with out of Austin. And she's fascinating to watch because 1 month she has a campaign very much geared toward men and testosterone. And, you know, they're men and they're about 55 to 65 and they want to feel vibrant and sexy and, you know, like releasing their masculinity again, but not in those words. I mean, very well designed.
Right.
So when the men that come into her office see these brochures and watch a little video that she's put together while they're in the waiting room, then she sells them a package for, you know, them getting their manliness back or whatever you want to call it. And feeling like a tiger that can roar again. So that's 1 month that I went to see her when I was in the waiting room. And I was doing stuff with her around the concept of marketing. So she markets that way offline. And then online, she also runs very similar types of campaigning. The whole thing that she does the next month around is geared toward women in their 40s to 50s, who also are concerned about where their hormones are at, and come buy my package and let me work with you one-on-one. And here's this package, and it will include so many visits and so many this and so many that. And then she gives them the basic package, the mid-range package, and the high package, but she's also doing it out on the internet. So that's, you know, something that is a possibility that you can run these certain campaigns. But in the beginning, what you have to do is you want to focus on that one dream customer. And so you can, it's possible to have 2 or 3, but you want to make sure that you run that campaign through thoroughly and that that copy is written specifically toward that person. And and they're okay. Like, all of her clients are okay with her 1 month focusing on men's health, and then the next month focusing on women's health. And then the next time around, I said, what's your next campaign? She says, it's going to be geared toward teenage girls and skincare. And I thought, wow. I mean, she's fascinating to watch. And so, you know, you might want to think about campaigns that you design and write your ideal customer around that. But what I'm going to say is always, always begin with something simple and basic that you can build out on, because I know other people who the only people that they ever work with are specifically those who they can serve, and they have, let's say, diabetes, or they're only working with children in elementary school and nothing else. And there are children in elementary school that happen to have a learning disability, and it's a specific learning disability, and it's dyslexia. So they're getting so niche market that they become the expert out in the field. So people start Googling them and looking for them, and then they can offer out what they offer. So sometimes being a generalist but offering out to different segmentations of your market is a wise thing, and other times it does not work at all, because then people are like, oh, she's a jack of all trade. All she wants to do is just sell us something. So you have to consider the source, which would be you, and you want to also consider how forgiving your dream clients, because at this moment you have a following of dream clients, and would they be okay with that? Now you could, you just want to think about which direction you're going in and how you want to serve. And to me, it sounded like when we talked the first time around, it was moms. And I don't know if you're still there or not, but I'm happy to, you know, work with you in that if you have questions around that.
Yeah, I think when I was answering the questions, it just constantly took me back to where I was, where I was at 10 years ago. What I was looking for, what I needed, and meeting that person there.
Mm-hmm.
Which was, you know, at that time, a full-time mom, wanting to feed my healthy and my family in a healthy way, and on a strict budget. So,
right.
So basically needing to know how to do that, needing the tools to be able to do that, needing a way to make, fill the gaps in our nutritional, in our diets, when we're so busy and on the go, and needing a way to try to make ends meet.
Right.
So
mm-hmm.
that's where I'm heading towards, and that's what I was coming back to all the time in answering those questions, is that person.
Yes. Now, do you still feel comfortable working with that particular outline for who your dream customer is?
Yes.
Okay.
I think I would be reaching a little bit beyond that. I think I'd be looking for people who weren't necessarily like in complete dire straits because of a lot of reasons.
right, because you're also wanting to build a business. So
I want people who are willing to do something with the knowledge, right?
Yes.
Willing to take action.
Yes.
And not people who are just stuck in circumstances and happy to be there, right?
Right. And so let's work on this for a little bit. How would you, and this is where you just play around with words and you think about copy, or let's say that you say, I don't even care about blogging. I'm going to do vlogging. That's video blogging. What type of phrases, and this is getting into week 3 practice, but what kind of phrases would you say to attract that type of person? Because you said you don't want to work with those in dire straits. You want to work with someone who's ready to take action. So what would be some of the phrases that you would use? Or talk to this individual, like, I'm this person, and what are you going to say?
It's kind of tough because I haven't gotten to that yet. It depends. Am I talking to you, or am I?
Well, you're talking to me like I'm.
You? Am I?
You're talking to me like I'm your dream client. But just as if I'm reading you through the internet right now. I'm your website, right? And so I just landed on your website, and some of the words that are phrases that are popping out to me in bold, and I'm thinking, wow, she so gets me. She so understands where I'm at right now. I really like her. I want to get to know her more. I trust her. What is it? To talk directly to her.
Well, I guess my thought is initially, I would be sharing information on how to raise your family in a healthy way on a budget.
Yes. So it would be something like you describe, this is who you are. A busy mom who cares about her family, but budget's been,
yeah.
but the budget, you know, gets in the way. I'm here to help you keep your family within that budget. I'm here to help you keep your family healthy, and I'm here to help you also learn how to create a stream of income from home.
Present with your family.
Yeah. I mean, so you can run into whatever direction you think. And we really get into this type of work in week 3. And I think it's going to be highly beneficial because when you were writing in the first week, what are the things that you like? Most likely because you were your ideal client 10 years ago, the things that you like, which are give me three of them.
Three
things that you were writing down. Like I heard you say earlier, music and songwriting. But give me some other things that you felt like, wow, I would love to spend my time like that.
Well, I was very, very, very passionate about being a mom. I was really passionate about being present.
Being present. Okay. So you want to be a present mom. You love your children, and you waited for such a time as this. You don't want to spend it off elsewhere worrying about finances. This is
right.
Who you are. I'm here to help. Something along those lines. So then you hash it out. And then some of the things that you really enjoy doing, like, okay, I'm here to help you also fill yourself up, which is through, you know, enjoying more time with your family, listening to great music, or spending time outdoors. And you're talking to that individual because you're giving them some examples. Does that make sense? Now, they may not always be like, oh, I like that. I mean, I crack up because sometimes I'll post a question on Facebook and I'll be like, are you a football fan? And I mean, I am not a football fan for nothing in the world. But I also realize it's important to identify with people who might be that still see themselves falling into my tribe, right? And so I find out if they do or they don't, and then who it is. And then I'm just honest. You know, that's one thing that I've never really been a fan of. But the thing is, you will still attract people just by telling the truth, being you, and even though they don't get everything you're writing, but you're still talking to their pain points. And the pain points are, I want to be able to provide my family with the best health possible, and I want to be a present mom. I don't want to worry about what I have or don't have financially, but it's still my concern. Can you help me out? So you're really going after, and this is week 3, you're going after those 3 pain points, the greatest pain points, and how you'll be able to address them. Okay?
Okay, sounds good.
Do you have any more questions?
not that I can think of at the moment.
Okay. Well, at this time, I'm going to say thank you so much for allowing me to pitch you out there. And I know Lily enjoyed us for a while and didn't have any question. But ladies, if you happen to have any, you don't have to wait for your next consult. I mean, you might have some of the same questions someone else has inside of the forum. So go ahead and pose it there, and I'll do my best to answer it. So anyhow, have a wonderful rest of the day, and I'll talk to you soon.